today on It's Time.
The amazing thing to me is that God is bigger than the inside out, backwards, upside down of our life.
Valleys, I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time for these wounds to heal.
If you have your Bible, I'd like to invite you to open them to the book of Genesis, chapter 11. Genesis 11, as we go through the Bible. One of the things when we read the Bible is this. God started it all. God's going to finish it. And the thing is, what's great, when you become born again, you're part of God's finishing team. The problem oftentimes comes when people with no purpose in their life, in other words, I'm just born to exist, he with the most toys when he wins dies kind of thing. This is the philosophy of the world. This is not the philosophy of a Christian. So again, when we see all these things, you go, that's interesting, but God's got a higher purpose, higher calling for you and me. Let's pray. Father, as we go to your word this morning, as we read these words, may your Holy Spirit cause your word to come alive, and Lord, that we would truly be able to say, I trust in you. And so God, as you call Abraham, as you call our names, to be about your business, may we be obedient and may we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's go to chapter 11. We touched on this last week briefly, but we want to go back over. This is the notorious story of the Tower of Babel. There's a lot of discussion on why they decided to build this tower. But one thing for sure, we know that Nimrod was the instigator of it. And Nimrod was the father of Mystery Babylon. It's interesting that in this place where this was located, in Shinar or in the land of Babylon, Nimrod was a hunter of men, and he made this big tower. And it was to reach into the heavens. Now, some people believe that it may very well have been to build, in case there was another flood, that this tower would be a refuge to go to. Some believe it was a place of worshiping the heavens. We know that Nimrod commanded everyone to worship his mother. And of course, the rumor was that Nimrod was immaculately conceived, and that Nimrod was gored by a wild boar, and 3 days later he came back to life. And you have this fake Christianity or this fake message that has permeated the religions of the world. The Bible, as we talked about this last week, we get into the latter part of Revelation, it says Babylon, the mother of harlots. What does that mean? All false religion has one basic thing in common, and that's to take you away from the real message of who God is. Now, let's read this together. Chapter 11, verse 1, Genesis. Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech. Not hard to comprehend, because we all had a common ancestry from Adam and Eve. This is one of the reasons why evolution to me is so totally ridiculous. Then all of a sudden, the baboons shaved off all their hair. We all became truck drivers, and now here we all are. No, that didn't happen that way. Because if you think about the progression of evolution, according to what they say, the billions of years that's needed, throw out the diameter of the sun and the moon moving away from the Earth or the Earth's orbit a couple inches a year. So in other words, theoretically, if you go far enough out there, we would eventually lose our moon because it would move far enough away from the gravitational pull that we would no longer have a moon. But you start looking at all these things. But you got to realize that as evolution is working, it doesn't work in stages. And this is one of the great problems. So you have evolutionary things happening all over the world. But it doesn't happen today, and that's the big problem. And again, I shared this many times when they say, oh, we have all these species going extinct. You are a hypocrite if you're worried about that, because if you're a true evolutionist, if you're a true atheist, Bernie Sanders is an atheist. He's maybe he prays to Fidel Castro, I don't know. But everybody prays to something, friends. Everybody's got some hero. And when evolution is your idea of how we got here, that is your hero. And when you stop to think about it for a minute, the years that are needed for evolution to take place and for human beings to somehow came about all of a sudden, when you look at all these, it takes more faith to not believe than to believe. I got to tell you one thing about evolutionists. They are people of faith, because their faith is in nothing. Your faith is in the God who made everything. And that's what I think is so important. God started this all from Adam and Eve. But they say, well, there was many different sources of beginning, such as, again, think about it. You have the evolution of animals and human beings and all these things. Well, these create all kinds of problems when we look at it. So again, evolution, there's a great DVD I have that's available for anyone here that would like it. And it's called Evolution Versus God. It's yours. If you'd like one, you just come up and get it. Great for evangelism. Lend it out, get it back, give it to somebody else, get it back. And it's called Evolution Versus God. Great movie. It completely debunks all these ideas that they come up with. And so it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, which is the area of Babylon, which is present day Iraq. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they used asphalt for mortar. Again, shows that there was oil in the Middle East, and so people picked up on this as they read the Bible, and sure enough, that's where a lot of people got rich. Verse 4, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Well, this is one of the things that God told Noah and his family after they came out of the ark, go be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. So they didn't want to do that. So they all wanted to be in one place at one time. So it says, the Lord came down to see the city which and the tower which the son of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Now, we talked a little bit about this last week, and I think it's really important. Just because you can do it doesn't mean it's God's will. And this is one of the great problems I have with the positive confession movement and some of these other ideas that have infiltrated the church, that if you just say it long enough, believe it long enough, blab it and grab it, you're going to get it. Well, I believe that there is an element of truth to that, friends. Not because God did it, but because you were given by God in the beginning to be able to create. I look at this as a very important part of understanding the human nature, because the thing is, though we can do a lot of things, doesn't mean that that is God's will for us. You can spend your whole life chasing your tail only to get to the end of your life in regret. This is one of the problems. You look at people who can't find no satisfaction. Well, why is that? Because they are doing what they believe will make them happy. It's not till we become a Christian, we dedicate our life to God, that God then says, this is why I put you on this earth. This is why you look different than everybody else on this earth. There's never been anybody like you ever before here. There'll never be anybody like you ever again. So do what I tell you to do and you'll find satisfaction. I like that. And again, as I said earlier, once that purpose God has for us is done, whatever it is, hey, I'm happy to go to heaven. I was in a Sunday school class years ago, and a man said, the most important thing is for a Christian to get to heaven. And I said, I got a question. I said, the most important thing for us to do as Christians is to serve God. Where else would a worn-out Christian go? Well, when you stop to think about it, friends, the most important thing is for you to love God, dedicate your life to Him. Heaven is already yours. If you're worried about whether you're going to go to heaven today or not, you need to get born again. Because you don't go to heaven because you're good. You go to heaven because God's good. Your faith is in Him. He's what qualifies you. He's what gives you the ticket to go to heaven. Well, you see, God, I got this little printing press in the back room, and I've been printing up these things to get into heaven. No, God gives you the ticket. Anything I make, you would make to get into heaven is what? A counterfeit. We don't approach God in our righteousness. The Bible says no good thing dwells in the flesh. Have you lived long enough to figure that one out yet? Even when you do good, have you noticed evil is present? You do something good, somebody comes in and say, oh, that's good. You go, I know. Why is that? Because it strokes our ego. We can do things, and even though our intention is good, you'll find sometimes it ends up backwards, upside down, and inside out. The amazing thing to me is that God is bigger than the inside out, backwards, upside down of our life. God takes those things and fixes them. And again, I've shared this many times. If God isn't fixing your life, who is? You say, well, I don't need to be fixed. Yes, you do. Because the thing is, life is bigger than us. And one of the things that you'll notice in life, if it isn't bigger than you today, I guarantee you it will be, and it will be soon. We think we're doing good, we're cruising, we got it all figured out. Hey, I got this little spot on my... I remember a girl in our fellowship years ago. She went to the doctor. She had a little black dot on her leg. Little black dot. And the girl goes, I don't like that black dot on my leg. She goes to the skin doctor. The doctor goes, oh, I think that's a melanoma. We got to take that off. Well, how serious is it? Oh, it's not serious. It's a little, minimally invasive surgery. You'll have a scar about a half inch long. So she went under the knife. She woke up. The scar on her leg was about 12 inches long, and that black dot had roots that had wrapped all the way around her bone. And they had to cut all that out. You see, we think we got it all together until we get a black dot in our life. Because these black dots have roots. And those roots grow around all kinds of things that we never knew existed. Well, here's the problem. Man gets together and they said, well, we're going to make our own religion. Nimrod head, you be our king. This is basically what Genesis 11 and 10 is about. You be our king. Nimrod, the great hunter of men, literally, and he was a hunter of evil. And he creates this world religious system, and they have a big tower in the middle of it, possibly to worship the host of heaven. And as I said before, maybe to climb up in it if the floodwaters came again, not believing what God said about the rainbow. And they have this thing, and they're all doing this, and they're all of one language, and they all have the same purpose, and that's to do what they want to do. And God says there's nothing that they have purpose that they cannot do. By the way, something else you might want to notice. Come, verse 7, let us. Now, I think this is interesting. In my Bible, the word us is capitalized. I believe this is speaking of the Trinity or going back to Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Elohim in the original Hebrew is the plurality of God. It's not singular. And this is one of the great problems a lot of people have. Now, the rest of the Bible tells us who this Elohim is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It isn't up to individual interpretation. Well, Elohim is Zeus and Hermes and Buddha and, you know. No. The Bible tells us who Elohim is. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So if we want to read it literally, in the beginning, the gods created the heavens and the earth. And then God said, let us make man in our image. All plural. You're a triune being. Again, always remember that, because people have asked about that. And the thing is, you're a body, mind, and spirit, okay? It's great when they all work together. When they don't work together, you have chaos in your life. You have addictions in your life. Your body says, I want drugs. Your body says, I want booze. And it doesn't matter what your brain, the brain says, stop drinking. You're going to wreck your car. I don't care. I want booze. And what happens? We find this dichotomy going on inside of us where we have this war. Paul says, where does wars and fightings come from among you? He's speaking to the church, but you know, friends, you can bring that into a personal level. When you have this inner turmoil, that's why we don't really experience peace in our life as a human being till we surrender our life to Christ. Jesus said, you must be born again. The Spirit of God comes in and straightens it out. You need to be straightened out. Like I say, people go everywhere for advice. Look at the internet, it's full of it. You ever watch TV and call Zelda, the psychic hotline, and for only $29.95, she will tell you your fortune.
I will tell you your fortune, call me.
They got the number down below.
Well, if you are so psychic, why don't you call me?
If you know I got a problem, you call me. If you're so tuned in with the spiritual world, you'll know who my phone number is. Call me up. My phone is right here. You wait. You call me right now. Zelda, give me a call. Zelda was not going to call because she's not really tuned in. But she is tuned into your wallet. But that's another whole topic. The point simply is this. People look for information. They look in this day to a religious system, the Babylonian system, sponsored by Nimrod, mother of harlots. They have this tower, and God says there's nothing now that they imagine they cannot do. Come, let us go down from here. Confuse their language so they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building their city. Therefore, the place is called Babel, because the Lord confused their language of the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Amazing story. This is where most all linguists believe that we all started somewhere with the same language, and it just eventually broke off. But there's not really a clear definition why we all have different languages. I think God did that. Now, I've shared that before. Acts chapter 2, God used language to separate people. The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues brought people back together. How is it that we hear all of these men in Acts chapter 2 speaking in our hometown dialects or our languages? And it talks about the different languages that are mentioned. Now, when we get into verse 10, and by the way, just to give you kind of an update here on time, it was 1656 years from Adam and Eve to the flood. Now, 427, we find the beginning of Abraham, 2,000 years. So the earth is about 2,000 years old. It's been through a flood. We find the genealogies leading up to Abraham, and that's what verses 10 through 26 are about. I'll let you go through and wrestle with those wonderful names. You know, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Termites, all that. You know, you can go through that on your own. Verse 26, though, is important. All the verses are important. It does give us a timeline. But one of the things that especially, verse 26, this is the beginning of the promise. This is where God singles out Abraham. This is the first mention of Abram in the Bible. Verse 26, now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, we don't know necessarily if these names are in order because of age, because of some things that Stephen said in Acts chapter 7 concerning time and genealogies, or whether it was listed according to importance because of Abram being the one that God. In this book of Genesis, this book of Genesis covers a little over 2,000 years. Yet one-third of this book of Genesis is dedicated to Abraham. So kind of shows you how important he was and what God was going to do. Now, by the way, as we read, you're going to see that Abram, though he was considered the patriarch, in fact, in the New Testament, they'd come to Jesus and they'd say things like, well, our father Abraham taught. Like Abraham was the sinless guy that could do no wrong. Well, as you study scripture, you're going to find he did a lot of really crazy stuff. The point is not that he does crazy stuff, but it proves that God uses crazy people to do his work. There's hope for me, hope for you. What I'm saying is God doesn't look for absolute perfection for those that serve him. If that would be the case, nothing for the kingdom of God would ever be done. A lot of times we think, well, you know, God, as soon as I get to this level, some churches teach this doctrine called sanctification. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. The word in the Bible for the word sanctification basically simply means set apart, okay? Well, I believe the day you become born again, you're sanctified because that's the day God sets you apart for his purpose. But there's church doctrine out there that floats around that after you're a Christian a lot of years, maybe 10, 15 years, you get to this level of sanctification, which means you come to this point in your life where you no longer sin. I've never met one yet. A guy named Charles Spurgeon, well-quoted minister, turn of the previous century in 1900s, he ran into a guy that believed in sanctification. And he says, well, this guy said to him, he said, I don't sin anymore. And Spurgeon, the story says, he reached over and picked up a pitcher of ice water and poured it on his head. And the guy flew into a rage and he goes, you know, anger is sin. He said, I thought you don't sin anymore. You see, the problem is none of us would sin in certain times. But the thing is, as long as we're in this old shell, this body, that's why you sin. That's why you do the things you don't want to do. That's why Paul says in the New Testament, as sinners, I am chief. I was chief. He says, I am chief. Why? Because this thing is weird. You know, you think about it. Why do we do what we do? We don't know. You actually ask your kids, why can't you just be in the same room and not try to kill each other? I don't know. It's true. They don't know. We don't know. Why did you do that? I don't know. Have you ever said that? Seemed like a good idea at the time. Have you ever said that? Well, it's because it probably did. And this is where we get into trouble. Well, I was in a hurry. I had to speed. And, you know, it just seemed like a good idea at the time. So all the blue lights came on. And, you know, see, that's the problem. Well, you find that Terah, verse 26, lived 70 years, begot three sons. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. Now, you remember Lot. His wife got turned into a pillar of salt. That's a little further up here in the book of Genesis. We'll read about that in a little bit.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.